Please hear our prayer of illumination. Holy Spirit, pour out upon us wisdom and understanding, that being taught by you in Holy Scripture, our hearts and minds may be opened to receive all that leads to life and holiness. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture this morning comes from Colossians and Luke. Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 10, and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of its creator. Then Luke chapter 12, verse 15, and he said to them, take care. Be on guard against all kinds of greed, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, Robert, for sharing those words of stewardship for us today, of reminding us of just how blessed we have been over the last couple of years as a church. And I am grateful to God for those blessings. And so we are in a month of vision and stewardship. So that's what we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks together. And the sermon series that I would like to share with you, titled Sow Generously and Reap Abundantly. Let me ask you a question. Can you imagine what it would feel like to live free? Free of all the things that would burden our lives. Free from worry. Free from fear. Free to live an open-handed, generous life, full of joy, the way Jesus lived. What if you could live that way? But we know that there is something inside of us that holds us back. Before we can talk about what it looks like for us as people of faith to sow generously and reap abundantly, I feel that we need to talk about something that's sabotaging that level of freedom in our life. There's a strong man that lives inside of us that we must defeat. When I was growing up, my family didn't have a lot of resources, financial resources. And I didn't always have the things that my friends had. You know, I remember my cousins and my friends at school when the first Atari gaming console came out. Y'all remember the old Atari? Some of you may have bought those for your kids back in the late 80s. Well, I never had an Atari. I never had a Nintendo or a Sega or anything like that growing up. But one summer after the sixth grade, my mom would take me in the mornings and drop me off at an aunt's house where all summer, every day, 5 days a week through that whole about 8 weeks of summer, I stayed with my Aunt Angie. And they were only in their 20s at that time. And my uncle loved technology, always has. And so he had a Nintendo gaming system. And so every day, I ended up playing that Nintendo. I played Super Mario Brothers. I played it so much that I became Super Mario. I knew every shortcut. I knew where every hidden one-up mushroom was and every block. I knew the sound of those coins would make when you would collect those coins, that dinging sound. I mean, I had that sound ringing in my ears throughout my sleep. I played this game for 6 to 8 hours a day. And if you remember that game, at the end of every level, you had to face the enemy, Bowser. And you had to defeat him in order to level up, to go to the next level. Well, that's what's going on in the series. That's what I want to talk about. That's what we're doing. We're learning how we can level up in our faith to live the kind of life that God wants us to live. And in order to move forward into that life, we've got to face an enemy inside. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, he says, "Put to death the sinful earthly things that are lurking inside of you." There's something lurking. That's the word he uses. There's something that's hidden, that's quiet, that's waiting. And Paul lists some of these things. He talks about sexual immorality, lust, anger, filthy language, lying. But there's one that stands out. Greed. Why does he talk about greed? You see, greed is the arch enemy of generosity. It's one of the seven deadly sins. It's the internal competitor to your trust in God. It fights against that trust. And here's the thing. You can see anger a mile away. You can spot it. You can generally spot a lie when you hear it. We're very quick to notice those kinds of things. But what about greed? It's not as easily spotted. It tends to hide. And that's why Jesus in Luke chapter 12 verse 15 that was read a moment ago, he says, "Watch out. Look for it. Be on guard against all kinds of greed." You know, the reason Jesus says, "Watch out," is because it's not always so obvious to us. Because it's invisible. It looks and it sounds reasonable. So how do we spot greed? Well, it has a voice that speaks. I've been reading this book by Andy Stanley, the pastor over at North Point Church in Georgia. I love Andy's teaching and preaching style. And he wrote this book several years ago. It's called The Enemies of the Heart. And in his book, he talks about greed as one of those enemies. And he says these enemies say things like this. One of the enemies is guilt. And he says, you know what guilt says? That voice, what it speaks inside of us? Guilt says, "I owe you. I owe you." We feel the weight of that debt. I owe something. Another one of those enemies is anger. You know what the voice of anger says? Anger says, "You owe me. You owe me." And then there's that voice of greed. What do you imagine that voice says? "I owe me. I owe me." You see, greed believes that everything good that comes our way belongs to us. We deserve it. And we deserve more. It sounds like this. I earned that. I earned it. I worked hard for it. It's mine. It belongs to me. Do those voices sound familiar to you? They do to me. One of the main reasons I wanted to talk about this is for myself. That voice sounds familiar to me. I hear the voice of greed in my heart say to me, Jimmy, you deserve what you have. You deserve it. You know, I think that voice was nurtured inside of me at a very early age in my life. As I said a moment ago, we didn't grow up with a lot of things. We didn't have much. I was telling our rooted groups on Wednesday night that during the holidays, my cousins would bring boxes of clothes, and we would pick out hand-me-downs from those boxes. You see, I remember thinking every time I had to go in there and pick through that box, I don't want to live like this when I grow up. So I started working hard at a very young age. I got my first job when I was 14 years old, and I've had a job ever since. I have a very strong work ethic in my life. My parents did too, even though we didn't have a lot, but they were hard workers. I always had a job because I wanted to be able to buy the things that I wanted. And y'all, there's nothing wrong with hard work. But that work ethic has a shadow side to it. It feeds the enemy inside of us. You see, greed isn't a work problem. It's not a money problem. It's a trust problem. A trust deficit. It's not about your wallet. It's about your heart. It's about who you believe your provider really is. And because greed hides behind words like wisdom and planning and saving and a hard work ethic, when it hides behind those ideas and those words, it doesn't look sinful at all. It looks smart. But let's be honest. Nobody ever admits to being greedy. We say things like, well, I'm just being careful with what I have. I'm a good planner. I'm a good saver. I'm being responsible. But Andy says that people around us can usually tell, though, that we talk and worry a lot about money. That might be a way to recognize a greedy heart. You have to look for the signs. Do you worry about money? Do you talk about it a lot with your spouse? Are you a reluctant giver and only give when it's safe? Do you keep score of what you've given? Do you value your possessions over the people in your life? These are ways that we can test the heart. You know, Jesus said it plainly. He said, life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. We think that stuff equals life. The more stuff we have, the better life we have. But Jesus says that life is more than stuff. You know, if you dig underneath the surface of the heart, you can find the root of greed. It's fear. The voice of greed says, what if there's not enough? What if there's not enough? What if I lose what I have? What if God doesn't come through for me the way that I want Him to? You see, fear tells us to hold tighter for security, for being responsible. But as Robert said, faith invites us to open our hands, not to hold tight. And when I got my very first job, I spent every dime I earned. I wanted it. If I wanted it, I bought it. And for a while, I thought, well, this is how it's supposed to be. You know, this is what it feels like to be able to have nice things, to be able to buy the things that I want. This is freedom to do what I want. But then as a teenager, I met this man named Jesus, encountered his teachings, and I started following Christ and trying to live an obedient life. And I learned about honoring God through generosity, through giving. And from the age of about 16, I started giving as a way of living out my faith. And what I found was a true joy. There's something better than just spending. There's a joy in giving. And when I met Debbie and we got married, we made giving a priority as well. And it's part of our budget. It's not an afterthought. And over the years, what we've seen is that God has come through for us again and again. And even when life throws us curveballs at times, we found ourselves thanking God that we have what we need when we need it. And there have been many of those occasions when we had to have faith that God would provide. And you know what all of this taught us? And it continues to teach us is that God can be trusted. He can be trusted always. But if we look back at what Jesus teaches in the parable in Luke 12, He tells a story about a rich farmer who had an amazing year. He had a bumper crop. It was the greatest that he had ever seen. And instead of asking, God, what do you want me to do with my extra? He said, what? You know the story? I invite you to read it this week. The farmer said, I'll build bigger barns. I'll store it. I'll save it. I'll enjoy it. Y'all, we hear that. That sounds like a financial planner's dream, doesn't it? But you know what Jesus calls this person? It's almost an affront to us. He calls the man a fool. And it wasn't because he was rich or had an abundance in his life. It was because he confused ownership with stewardship. He thought his abundance meant his security. But what happened that night? He died. And someone else ended up with everything that he had stored up. Andy talks about this parable in his book, and he He puts it like this. He says, eventually, everything we claim to own will be owned by somebody else. You ever thought about that? Like, we don't end up owning anything. I heard a preacher one time say, I've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul trailer. We can't take it with us. The only question, Andy says, is whether we'll give it away while we can or lose it when our time runs out. You see, greed is always whispering to us, build a bigger barn. But you know what faith asks us to do? God, what do you want me to do with my extra? How can I be generous with what you have given me? Jesus says that greed is like this. A person who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. To be rich toward God means to be generous toward others. And the cure for greed isn't guilt. You can't be guilted into generosity. The answer for greed is actually generosity practiced. Not because God needs our money, but because He wants our heart. And every time we give, we are declaring that my life is not my possessions. My trust is not in my barns or my storage units, but my hope is in my God. And generosity is God's way of breaking the power of fear and building our faith and overcoming this ancient enemy of greed. So as I close, let me ask you something. What are you holding on to so tightly that it's holding you back from trusting God? You see, greed will always say, I owe me. And fear will always whisper, what if there's not enough? But faith says, God will provide for me. And generosity says, God, what do you want me to do with my extra? Y'all, that's how we level up. That's how we sow generously and reap abundantly. Not by holding tighter to our life, but by opening our hands and our heart to trust the one who is always faithful. So let this song that Libby's about to play, let it call us and invite us into a time of prayer around these things. Lord, just like the tune of that song says, we want to be a Christian in our hearts. What we're declaring is that we be more like Jesus. Full of life and joy, generosity. May there be more freedom in our life. May we be more like our Savior. So, Lord, we ask that you would help us to trust you as our provider. Free us from fear and greed. And help us to live with open hands so that through our generosity, others, they might see your goodness and see your grace at work in us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I leave you with this benediction as you go forth today from Ephesians chapter 3. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or imagine according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And let God's people say, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.